Okay, we are on Daf Chof, Gimel, Amud Aleph, towards the bottom. So if you remember, we were discussing yesterday, and we're going to continue this discussion now. We're trying to work out, what did Rav Meir mean when he said that each one of the two parties can invalidate the other one's judge? And by the way, in the continuation of the Mishnah, he said, so too, each one can invalidate the other one's aid, or aidim, which we will see presently. So the question is, we're discussing, what does that mean? Does Rav Meir literally mean, is it supposed to be understood literally, that Reuven presents his dayon, and without any basis, without any reason, Shimon can simply say, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not prepared to be judged by that dayon, I don't like his nose. Is that easily allowed to say that? So if you remember, the Gemara that we saw yesterday said that no. Even Rav Meir agrees that if they really are mumchin, established expert dayonim, then no, he cannot reject them. Now, the Gemara didn't like that because the Gemara said, but the Rabbanon said that if they are mumchim, they cannot be rejected. So it sounds like according to... It sounds like according to Rav Meir, they can be rejected. So the Gemara explained, no. What it means is everybody agrees, and this is how we left off with yesterday. If they are established mumchim, they cannot be rejected, even according to Rav Meir. All Rav Meir was saying was that if, according to Rabbanon, if they are kosher edim, kosher dayanim, excuse me, it means they're not posel, they're not kravim, then we are considering them to be mumchin and they cannot be rejected. Rav Meir disagrees with that and he says, we do not assume them to be mumchin. So they can be rejected. But if we know them to be mumchim, then everybody agrees they cannot be rejected. That's how we emerged yesterday. So again, everybody agrees. If the dayanim are established mumchim, they cannot be rejected. The only machlokes is when they are not established mumchim, are we to assume that they are mumchim by virtue of the fact they happen to be kosher dayanim, they're not related, and they're not posel based on the fact that they're Rishoyim or Mechallel Shabbos, etc., etc., etc. So have a look at the Gemara on the sixth last wide line. The first word on the line is B'mumchim. B'mumchim. And the Gemara now tries to bring another proof. Toshma. Says the Gemara, Toshma, we've learned in a brisa. Omru loy le Rav Meir. They said to Rav Meir, who's they? Obviously the Rabbanon. Loy kol heimenu. It is not for him. She poisel dayon she mumcha le rabim. End of braisa. Rabbanon turned round to Rav Meir and they said, I'm sorry. It's not for him to pasel a dayon who's a mumcha le rabim. Now, what does that sound like? Don't we agree that that sounds like that Rav Meir clearly held otherwise? It seems to be that Rav Meir held that even if the dayon is a mumcha, he can be rejected. And that's why the Rabbonim were turning around and they were saying, I'm sorry, lav kol heimenu. It's not for him to reject somebody who's established mumcha. So therefore, this is really a question. How can you tell me that Rav Meir agrees that a mumche cannot be rejected? Well, if a mumche cannot be rejected, why did the Rabbanon say to him that it's not for him to reject a mumche? Who in the world says you can reject a mumche? So it's implicit that clearly Rav Meir holds you can reject a mumche. So I'm just going to try and quieten things in the background here. Sorry about that. Just had some twins dabbling in the background. So therefore, if the Rabbanon said to Rav Meir, it's not for him to passel a mumcha, It sounds like the Rameh apparently holds that he can pasul a mumcha, which is a big question, because we said a minute ago that everybody agrees that if he's an established mumcha, he cannot be rejected. Says the Gemara, Ema, let us suggest that what was meant was as follows. Loi kol heimenu, it's not for him. This is what Rabbanu meant to ask. It's not for him, shepoisel dayin, shehimchuhu rabim alehem. What does that mean? Shehimchuhu rabim alehem. Initially, the Rabbanon were quoted as saying, it's not for him to pasul a mumcha le rabim. Literally translated, an expert for the public. And now we are amending that and we're saying, no, that's not what they said. What they said was, it's not for him to reject a dayon shehimchuhu rabim alehem, who the rabbim have officially declared as an expert. What's the difference? It seems to be that we can have somebody who's a mumcha l'rabbim. What does that mean, is mumcha l'rabbim? The general public view him as a mumcha, but he's never officially been declared as such. As opposed to what we're talking about now, a dayon shehimchu rabim aleihem means a dayon who has been publicly declared as a mumcha. So what's the difference in a mumcha l'rabim and a dayon shehimchuhu rabim aleihem? Who is the higher form of mumcha? So Rabbi Yosef, do Art Scroll explain the dynamics of a dayon shehimchuhu rabim aleihem?
When the sages spoke of an expert, they did not refer to one truly knowledgeable in Torah law. They meant rather one whom the townspeople, lacking a bona fide expert, have invested with the power to adjudicate disputes as if he were an expert judge.
Right. In other words, there are two levels of mumcha. A mumcha l'rabim, I'm not sure if I explained this clearly enough before. A mumcha l'rabim means he is a mumcha, he is absolutely qualified to paskin in all public matters. As opposed to somebody shehimchu rabim, the rabim, not knowing one way or another, have declared him, okay, fine, he's the one who's going to paskin shailas, but he's not necessarily equipped to do so. At least we don't know whether he's equipped to do so. So the Gemara says that is what the Rabbanon were referring to. Rabbanon said that he cannot pasul a dayon who the rabbim have accepted upon themselves as the judge. Apparently, Rav Meir disagrees and says he can be rejected. But once again, but a real mumche who we know is established, not just accepted by the kehillah, but is established as a mumche l'rabim, everybody in the world would agree that he cannot possibly be rejected. So again, the Rabbanon said that you cannot reject a mumcha. It sounds like the Rav Meir holds that you can. The Gemara is explaining, no. If he were to be a genuine mumcha, then even Rav Meir would admit you cannot reject him. That's not the discussion. We're not discussing a mumcha l'rabim. What are we discussing? We're discussing, as the Gemara calls it, a dayon shehimchuhu rabim aleihem, that the rabim have, as it were, appointed for lack of a better alternative. So there indeed would have a machloikas in Rav Meir and the Chachamim, can he be rejected? But a real out and out mumcha, officially declared, classified, qualified mumcha, cannot be rejected by anybody. And the Gemara says we can back this up with a braisa. Tanya nami hochi, lo'oilom poisel v'hoilich. The braisa says indeed he can always continuously just passel the day on, ad sheyekabel olav, bezdin shemumcha lerabim divrei Reb Meir. So you see quite clearly what is this braisa teaching us. The Reb Meir's opinion is you can always passel the day on, except if he's a mumcha lerabim. So everything we were suggesting before is explicit here in the braisa. Once you have a dayon who is a mumcha l'rabim, he's an officially qualified public dayon, he cannot be rejected even according to Reb Meir. Okay, so let's press pause for a moment. Let's work out where we're up to, because we'll see this has bearings on the continuation of the Gemara. The Mishnah said that we have a machloikas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Reb Meir said, you can passel the other one's dayon, and the Rabbanon said, no, you can't unless you have halachic basis. That was the machlokes. It turns out in the final analysis that even Rav Meir's opinion is not to be understood literally. Do not think that Rav Meir holds that you can merely reject the other one's dayan in all circumstances. No, that's not true. Because even Rav Meir agrees, if you bring along a dayan who's a mumcha l'rabim, an officially sanctioned, qualified dayan who's a mumcha, he cannot be rejected. It's only when he's not an officially sanctioned, it's just that the rabbim have accepted him because there's no public, there's no alternative, so then we have a discussion. But if indeed, really, he's a fully qualified public dayan, he cannot be rejected. Fine. Now, how does this have bearing on the continuation of the mission? Because if you remember, the Mishnah then, at the end of the Mishnah, brought the same machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim, not with regard to the Dayanim, but rather with regard to the Edim. And Reb Meir said, you can passel the other one's Edim. And the Chachamim said, no, you can't. Only if you bring proof that they are krovim or psulim. But merely to say, your Edim, I do not accept, says Rabbanon, you can't do that. Now, let's work out something for a moment. Do we agree? In the case of Dayonin, yes, there can exist somebody who's a Dayon who's apostle or a Dayon who's a Korov. So obviously he's out. But even once you've got past that stage, we then have to say, okay, he's not apostle, but is he competent? Is he a mumcha? Is he not a mumcha? Is he a mumcha l'rabim, etc., 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 as we've just discussed. What about the case of an aide? An aide also, in this respect, is similar to a dayan. He's also got to get past stage one. What's stage one? We first have to establish he's not a korov, he's not apostle. He's not related. He's not a Rosha, he's not a Machal Shabbos, etc., etc. Once we get past that stage, what remains? Do we need an aid mumcha? No such thing. A dayon, it's not good enough for him merely to be a kosher person. He's also got to be a competent dayon. But an aid, yes, he's got to be a kosher aid. But once you're a kosher aid, you're a kosher aid. So if that's the case, we've got ourselves now into trouble. What does Rav Meir hold, again, with regard to Dayonim? Can you just passel any Dayon right, left, and center? We've just agreed that no. If he's an established mumcha, he cannot be rejected. Well, every aid is also basically an established mumcha. Every aid, there's no necessity to have some qualification of competence. So every aid, if he's kosher, he's kosher. So what did Reb Meir mean when he said you can reject the other one's aidim? On what basis? He doesn't mean that you can reject the other one's aidim because he's not kosher or because he's posel, because that the Chachamim say, we agree. The Chachamim said clearly, you can only reject him if he's non-kosher or he's apostle. Okay, so Reb Meir clearly holds to that. What was Reb Meir adding? Rameh says, no. Even beyond that, you can pass the Liad ones Edim. How so? Once we've got past stage one, he's a kosher, and he's not possible, and he's not a korev. Why on earth can you reject him? Bishloimer, in the case of the Dayon, now we understand. It's not good enough merely for him to be a kosher person and a non-relative. We also have to know whether we can check the last box, is he a proper mumcha? That Reb Meir said, if he's a qualified mumcha, you cannot reject him. If he's a not qualified mumcha, then you can reject him. Fine, that I can understand. But in the case of AIDS, on what basis are you going to reject him? What further qualification do I need once I've established that he's not a apostle and he's not a relative? How on earth can I reject him? This is the Gemara's question. Have a look at the Gemara. On the fourth bottom line, says the Gemara, Vaho Eidim, surely witnesses are kumumchim dami, are comparable to a Dayan Mumchim. Why are they comparable to a Dayan Mumcha? Because every aid is considered competent. You don't need any qualification to be an aid, you just need to be not possible. The Omer Rabbi Meir, Zeh Poisel Eidov Shel Zeh, Vezeh Poisel Eidov Shel Zeh, question mark. So if you're telling me that in the case of Dayonim, once he's established Mumche, Rabbi Meir agrees he cannot be passeled, well, how can you passel an Eidim then? Every Eid is like a Mumche. Every Eid, look at Rashi quickly. Says Rashi, Boho Eidim Kamumchim Domu, Im Einom Kroivim Oipsulim. As long as I've established that they're not related and they're not possible, well, what more do you need? What more do you need? So every regular kosher, non-related aid is basically comparable to a Dayan Mumcha. And if Rav Meir agreed that a Dayan Mumcha cannot be rejected, why on earth can an aid be rejected? Every aid is like a mumcha. Every aid is considered confident, competent, and a valid aid. So how on earth are we to understand why is Rav Meir allowing either party to passel the other one's aid? That's the kasha of the Gemara.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Didn't you just say a while back, yesterday, the week before, Rabbi, that regarding a marriage on the ksuba, that the Edom are the most important people. You really have to have choshev of people on the Edom. So clearly...
No, you don't have to have choshev. You don't have to have choshev. You have to have somebody who we're absolutely sure is kosher.
Yeah, but you were saying, you know, people make a big mistake. There's kosher people, and then there's the tzaddikim who you give to brachos to. And there should be the opposite, you said. You should really be giving the gedolei ador the Edos and not worry about the brachos.
But not because there's a halacha of a mumcha. Rather, it's because I've got to be absolutely sure that he's not over Averis and he's a kosher. That's all.
But yes, so maybe there's a level.
Either you're kosher or you're not. Who can I be sure that he's kosher? The real answer is I can't be sure about anybody. We don't know. But it's more likely that a Talmud Chacham and Olam Choshev is a kosher. But after that level, there's no extra requirement. He's got to be of a particular competence to be an aid.
So maybe that's what the mayor is talking about. That when we talk about a mumcha, we're looking for Edus. You know, if you feel that the guy says he can be trusted, he's not.
Rabbanon also agreed to that. But the Rabbanon also agreed to that. There wouldn't be a machlokes about that. Rabbanon said that you can reject him if he's not a kosher. If he is a kosher, then he's a kosher. Now, it's true. I've got to do my homework to find out whether he's a kosher aid. But once he's a kosher aid, well, what more could you possibly need? A long white beard, or he doesn't have a long white beard, it's all irrelevant. If he's kosher, he's kosher. So on what basis does Rameh say, no, you can reject the other one's aid? Why? What do you need? Answers the Gemara. Or itmar alo. We've actually learned concerning Rameh's statement that there was an amendment. What was the amendment? Omer Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish exclaimed.
Oh, shush you.
Omer Resh Lakish, Pe Kodosh Yoimar Dovozeh. Would Reb Meir's holy mouth have said this? So when Reb Meir said that you can pastel the other one's aid or edim, Resh Lakish exclaimed, Per Kodosh, would Reb Meir's holy mouth possibly have said that? It can't be. So what did Reb Meir mean? And he explained, rather, Tony, Eidoi, period. Not Eidov. Eidoi. Eidov means his witnesses in the plural. Eidoi means his witness, solitary witness. Now, this needs explanation, and the Gemara is about to explain. But it turns out that yes, if you bring two Eidim who are kosher, then they cannot be rejected. There's no such thing. You can't just go rejecting other people's Eidim. Otherwise, you'd never have a Din Torah in your life. Because every time the other guy brings Eidim, so the person will say, sorry, I don't accept them. Why? I don't like his nose. Sorry, that's not a claim. I, Reb Meir, seem to have said that. No, Resh Lakish amended it when he said, I cannot believe that Reb Meir's holy mouth would have said such a thing. He didn't mean a dim, he meant a doi, his witness, not his witnesses. So clearly, what's the case? We're not talking about where Reuven brought a group of a dim, a cut a dim. If you bring a dim, well, once we've established that they're kosher and they're not kraivim, sorry, nobody in the world can reject them. If the Torah says, Al pi shnayim edim yakum davo, you cannot reject them. So what did Reb Meir mean when he said you can reject? You can reject edoy, not edov, not his witnesses, but rather his witness. Now, the Gemara immediately needs to explain, what does that mean, his witness? What's the case? We always need two Eidim. So what does that mean? You can reject his witness. Why is he only bringing one witness? You always need two. Says the Gemara, Eidoi, you're telling me it's a single witness who he's brought to Bezin, and that's what Reb Meir says you can reject? Lamai, question mark. For what? For what purpose? Now, we need to know a very important halacha in Eidus. Is that indeed true that you always need two Eidim? And the answer is, no, it's not true. There are occasions where a single Eid also has influence, has power. If a single Eid would come to Beis Din and say, I'd like to testify that Reuven was Mechalel Shabbos, what do we do with that Eidus? Nothing. Not only do we do nothing, he's just been over an Issa Deiraisa of which Issa? Of being over the Lashon Hara. We have to have two Eidim to establish he was Mechalel Shabbos. We have to have two Eidim to witness that they're married. We have to have two Eidim in all matters of husband and wife, etc., etc. However, there are cases, and Momoin, by the way, in monetary matters. How many Eidim do you need in monetary matters? Also two. If one aid comes to the Beis Din and says, Reuven lent Shimon money. Okay, thank you very much. That's irrelevant because you don't have two Eidim. However, one aid on occasion does have power to be Mechayev a Shvuah. If two Eidim come to Beis Din and say that Reuven owes Shimon money, then Reuven's got to pay. Reuven cannot turn around and say, well, I'm willing to take an oath that I don't owe the money. You don't have that option. If two Eidim say that you owe the money, you owe the money, you've got to pay the money on the spot. But if one Eid comes to the Beis Din and says, I claim that Reuven owes Shimon money, so then we make a compromise. That single aid, on the one hand, is not powerful enough to obligate Reuven to pay. But on the other hand, he is powerful enough to mandate to require Reuven at least to take an oath to declare that he's not chayav to pay. So a single aid does have particular koyach. So now let's come back to our story. Remeir said, you cannot reject the Eidim, but you can reject the Eid. What's the case? So look at the Gemara. Eidoi l'mai. For what? What's this Eid Echor trying to do? If you're coming to tell me, if this single aid comes to Bezdin to testify that somebody owes money, well, that Eidus can't work anyway. Rachmona Pasle, the Torah has passed him. The Torah says the one aid is not good enough. And Ile Shvua, and if he's coming to at least say that he's Chayav Shvua, Hemune Mehemon, surely he has Nemonus, he's believed, Kebei, Trey, just like two Edim, question mark. As we just explained, even an Eid Echad, he might not be able to influence in a monetary case to get Reuven to pay money. That's true. The Torah says he cannot make somebody pay money, but he can obligate a Shvuah. He's Ne'emon, he's believed like two Edim with regard to a Shvuah. So what does the Gemara mean to ask? The Gemara means to ask, if that's the case, we still don't understand how on earth can Reuven reject Shimon's aid. We've now established he cannot reject his aidim. Okay, it's true. But we said he can reject his aid echod. Well, what's the case, says the Gemara? I don't understand. What do you mean his aid echod? Why did Shimon bring an aid echod? If Shimon brought an Eid Echad to try and be Mechayev Reuven to pay him money, well, that's no good anyway, because an Eid Echad can't do that. So I don't need to reject him. The Torah has rejected him. And if Shimon brought the Eid Echad not to require Reuven to pay money, but at least just to require Reuven to make a Shvuah, well, then the Eid Echad has the same status as two Eidim. He's believed, so you can't possibly reject him. If you agree you cannot reject two Eidim, well, neither should you be allowed to reject an Eid Echad who's trying to be Mechayev HaShvuah. Because an Eid Echad who's Mechayev HaShvuah has the same halachic standing as two Eidim trying to be Mechayev Mamon. He's believed. So therefore, we're back to square one. How on earth can Reb Meir say that you can reject the other one's Eidus? How can you reject the Eidus? If it's two Eidim, they cannot be rejected. And if it's an Eid Echad, well, if he's coming for monetary matters, he's not believed anyway, so I don't need to reject him. And if he's coming to make me make a Shvuah, well, then he is believed, and he is believed. How can he possibly be rejected? Says the Gemara, La'oilam la'mamayim. We're talking about in a monetary case. Yes, it is a monetary case. Now, one second. If it's a monetary case, didn't we just say that an Eid Echad is pointless? Look, Sricha, do you know what we're talking about? The Kible Alei Kebei Trei. This is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous chiddush. That even though an Eid Echad cannot testify in monetary matters, other than a Shvua, but not to require anybody to pay, but if the two litigants say, we accept the Eidus of an Eid Echad as if he were two people, then that's good enough. This principle is only in the case of money. We cannot have that for Kiddushin. If the Chosn and Kala are standing under the chuppah and there's only a single aid, it doesn't help that the Chosn and Kala say, well, we rely on you as if you were two. No, that doesn't help. You actually have to have two. But in the case of monetary matters, if the two litigants say, listen, there's one aid, his name is Chaim, we accept Chaim, the aid, as if he were two, then that constitutes a valid aidus on the one hand. On the other hand, he can still be rejected. You can backtrack. And that we're going to see in the next Gemara. But let's just first see a Rashi, the second last Rashi on the
Quick question.
Yes.
So if we threw out Shvuah because of Kveh Tre, how come we don't do that here? And also, if we have a pasuk that says it's one is no good by money, how can the litigants undo
Yes, that's a
a
special halacha.
deraisa?
Right, it's a very good shaila. That's a special halacha in Ne'emonos. With regard to all other shailas, it's a question of do we trust you? Here, with regard to Machal Shabbos, with regard to a loiva and a malva, if we're happy to say, listen, I'm prepared to pay you $1,000 if an eid echod says that I'm prepared, that I'm mechuyev to pay. I'm prepared to do it. I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to give you money. The Bez Din can't put somebody to death on the basis of an eid echod. The Torah requires two. But if I'm prepared to take money out of my pocket, even if you don't have sufficient eidim, then that's my prerogative. I can give you money even without any eidim at all. The chiddush is, and this was your first question, is if that's true, once you've accepted them, well, how can you reject them afterwards? So that the Gemara is going to discuss in the next line. But first, let's have a look at Rashi, the second last Rashi in the Omud. The kiblu alav betray betchilas divrehem, right from the outset in the beginning of the Din Torah, kibluhu aleim kishnayim. They were makabel, these two people were makabel, as if this Eid Echod had the status of two. And you're quite right, Reb Nachum. So now the obvious question is, well, if he really has the status of two because we've accepted him, so how can you now turn around and say, no, on second thoughts, I reject him? So we'll have to press pause, but that's going to be the Gemara and the continuation of Mitzvah Shem. So I guess we'll see that at the beginning of next week in Mitzvah Shem.
Yeah, you should call it.
Just with regard to the Parashah Shir, just for